Today on Real Radio.
This might be a little uncomfortable. Why is this the title of today's message? Because it is about suffering. It is about hardship. It is about difficulty. It's about what God's word says regarding us in reality being Christians on our way to heaven, but not there yet.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Now, a few years back here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's 1 Corinthians series. And if you heard it, you know there were some serious issues with that local congregation. Well, 2 Corinthians has an entirely different focus, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable.
The great letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. You might be thinking this morning, well, isn't it kind of, you know, it's addressed to the same people. Is it the same stuff, same topics, all that? No, not at all. We're looking at a message entitled this morning as we get into the introduction of it all. The title is rather lengthy, but I think necessary. It is this. This might be a little uncomfortable. The title. This might be a little uncomfortable. Why is this the title of today's message? Because it is about suffering. It is about hardship. It is about difficulty. It's about what God's word says regarding us in reality being Christians on our way to heaven, but not there yet. And for now, in this life, there may be things that might be or become a little uncomfortable in our Christianity. We've all been to the doctor, and we know by now, after the second doctor's visit, that whenever the doctor says, this might be a little uncomfortable, you know it is going to hurt like the dickens. And you say, well, you're not encouraging me, Pastor. That's right, but I am. Christianity hurts. It is uncomfortable at times. There are difficulties. Now, maybe for 99% of you guys here today, this doesn't apply. But listen, cheer up. Take notes, because someday it's going to apply. By way of introduction, and church, you can just relax this morning. We'll go as far as we can. My timer's going to go off. I'm going to quit when my alarm goes off. You won't be late today. I want to honor what God is going to say to this church today. I have my notes, but I want to be open to what the Holy Spirit has to say as well. By way of background, 2 Corinthians is known as Paul's unread letter. Mark that down. It shouldn't be that way, but in theological circles, the book of 2 Corinthians is known predominantly among Bible students and scholars that it is Paul's most unread letter. It's understood to be the second least read letter in the Bible, specifically the New Testament. The number one least read book of the New Testament is the one that should be read the most, and that is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation says that it has built into it a blessing for all those who will read this book, and yet most people don't read the book of Revelation. Second book that is not read and should be is 2 Corinthians. Why? Because it is the book on how to maneuver, negotiate, and be prepared for suffering, difficulties. Listen, the word means stress, anxiety. Thus, this might be a little uncomfortable. That is our Christian life, but with great hope and with great reason. It's also known as the most tender letter Paul ever wrote. It's a very tender letter in this sense that Paul reveals his heart like no other book that Paul has written. Paul reveals his feelings. Paul reveals his concerns, his cares, and his weaknesses. See, you and I have the tendency to put Christian leaders up on a pedestal and put them up and out of place above all the fray. I don't know why we do this. I could speculate, but we exalt Christian leaders to the point that somehow they just glide above life's troubles, that they don't have anything. And I got to tell you something. Not only is that not true, But God will take his leaders and put them through the ringer to show publicly the power of his word. I got to tell you something. I grew up at a church where the pastor walked out to the pulpit and taught the word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse, with a huge smile on his face. He had the ability to project into your life the love of God, and all the while, with the joy that that pastor had in his heart, you began to think, if you weren't too much in tune with life, that boy, his life must be easy. Boy, his life must be cush. I guess, you know, what does he do? He works 1 hour a week. I would smile like that too if that was my job. And you didn't know. And I remember sitting there in my mind after a while, you know, you get tired of that big Chuck Smith smile. And I began to think, well, life must be easy for him. Little did I know, because I would think, well, if I were him, I wouldn't have done that. If I were him, I wouldn't have made that decision. And then God has a way of letting us in on things. God called me in the ministry, and now years later, I put my hands up in the air and say, God, forgive me. Now I know exactly why Chuck did that. Paul reveals to us the difficulties of life and the reason why ministers and Christians and Christian workers don't convey to you the hardships is because the glory and the joy outweighs the pressure and the anxiety of the hardships. And you say, well, that's great for you guys, but no, it's us. It's incumbent upon every Christian. The background to 1 Corinthians is somewhat a little bit different. 1 Corinthians was written while Paul was in Ephesus to the believers in Greece. Not this time. Now Paul's in Macedonia, north of that region. North of the Aegean Sea, Macedonia. And he writes now, about 12 months later, after the first book, he writes now 2 Corinthians, and that would place it then in about the year 55 AD. And so, it is a region where he's writing from and writing to, obviously under Roman control. So look with me in the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll get into this. We'll look. Verse 1, Paul, mark it, an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, or Greece. That's the region today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Verse 6, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers, listen, Christian, as you are partakers of the sufferings, plural, so also you will be partaker, singular, of the consolation. We'll talk about what these things mean in a moment. Very, very briefly, we're not going to spend much time on verses 1 and 2. Paul is saying this. Notice this very quickly. He starts out the second letter to them. He says to them, Paul, make no mistake about it. It's me, an apostle of Jesus Christ. By what? By the will of God. This is essential. Here's the reason why. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, we just studied it at length. When they got it, some people said, excellent. Some people said, oh, that's what we're supposed to be doing regarding love or divisions, factions, or the gifts, or about carnality. Great. Some people read it and said, We don't like what he has said. We don't like Paul. We are now going to cast doubt on Paul's ministry. And during that 12-month period of time, there were those who were trying to undermine the authority of the Apostle Paul. Here's the amazing thing about Paul. He didn't care. He didn't care for himself. Paul didn't have banners. He didn't have to announce himself. He didn't have to somehow have an entourage that went ahead of him saying, Paul is coming. The Apostle Paul is coming. Coming this fall, the Apostle Paul. None of that stuff. You know, listen. He went and he preached and he taught and he did what God called him to do. Even in the face of his authority being rejected, he simply announces, the letter's from Paul, deal with it. Whatever you choose to deal with it, I pray that you will obey the will of God. And oh, by the way, I'm an apostle by the will of God, not by the committee of men. This is a big deal. Well, the church voted and we want to have pink carpet. Listen, Paul would have said, tear out the carpet. What do I care? But if somebody came along and said, Paul, we don't like your doctrine, we don't like your teaching, Paul would say this, you're making a grave mistake. I didn't make up the doctrine. I didn't think this up. This is from God. This is what Christ has revealed. And when you listen, this is awesome. Paul is saying, when you read what the Spirit of God used through my body to put on parchment, and you read it, you're listening to none other than the very will and words of Christ. It is an awesome thing. You say, man, that's bold. You bet he was bold. You bet he was bold. You want to know why he was bold? Because he knew his calling. He knew that God had called him to say and to do what he was doing. And listen this morning, you may be an architect, you might be an engineer, you might be a homemaker, you might be, I don't care what you are. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian, Pastor. Then listen, you are a Christian, a lover of Jesus by the will of God. What does that mean? Wherever you go, is it in the home? Is it in the neighborhood? Is it at the office? Is it at the city civic center? Is it on the construction site? Listen. What is your name? In the count of three, I want to hear your name. Shout it out loud. 1, 2, 3. You are blah, the Christian by the will of God. That means tomorrow when you get up and you go to work, you are going to do that because God has ordained that you be at that job. You say, I hate my job. Learn to love it. And learn to love it quick. Well, I don't want to be there very long. Love it as long as you're there. Love it for Jesus' sake. Shine like the heavens above. Just give it unto God. Button your lip. Put a smile on your face. Go to work and do it for Jesus. Even if you don't like it, do it for God. Do everything, all that you do. Do it to the glory of God. Why? Because it's the will of God for you in your life. Amen. See, man, I can't even go to work without praying. Praise the Lord. I can't face that boss without reading my Bible. May it always be that way. It's by the will of God. And settle this before we even ever get to the first point this morning. He mentions Timothy, his faithful companion, to the church of God, which is at Chino Hills. I'm sorry, which is at Corinth. With all the saints who are in California, I mean Greece. That's exactly what he means. Grace to you, circle the word grace, unmerited favor, charis. Unmerited favor, please, you're gonna wanna know this, you're gonna wanna remember this as we get into the study this week and next week. Unmerited favor is bestowed upon the Christian. Christian, this morning, God has favored you. And this morning, listen, this is where we're gonna go. We're gonna answer these age-old questions. Well, if God is a God of love, then why am I suffering? If God is a God of goodness, then why is there evil? If I'm a Christian, then why am I going through the stuff that the non-believers are going through? Because God has highly favored you. God has set his seal upon your life. God has placed his grace. Listen, none of us, believer, atheist, theist, evolutionist, it doesn't matter what you are, independent, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter what you are, In life, there's going to be difficulties, challenges, sickness, hurts, pains, financial struggles, tension, pressures, anxieties. We're all going to have those things. Listen, here's the tragic thing about the non-believer. They experience those things, and 99% of the time, they just go bitter. By the time they come to their old age or to their end of their journey, they're angry, bitter, cynical people. And Christians who experience the exact same thing winds up at the end of their life's journey being excited to enter into the kingdom of glory, having seen God do awesome and wonderful things. The word of God has come alive to them. They've decreased, but he has increased. Their outward man is perishing. Even this morning, as they're believers in this church, on their last few hours, they're entering glory. The great sun that shines like it's going to shine today, 94 degrees, today, with brilliant sunshine, what's it going to do? It is going to either soften things or harden things. The wax will become soft. The clay will become hard. If your heart is understanding the depth of the things that we're going to be heading toward in this study about suffering and anxiety and how am I going to make it through? I don't have a job, Pastor. What am I going to do? Listen, you are going to be encouraged. What does this say? 2 Corinthians, a letter of what? Encouragement. Grace. God has favored us, and we're going to find out what that really means. And the peace of God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace. This is not the word peace with God. We already have that. Paul uses a different word. He doesn't use that you can have peace with God. So, no. That's already been, the moment you come to Jesus Christ, you have peace with God now. There's no more war. You're not kicking against God. You're not fighting. You're not saying, my will be done, God. My will be done. You've surrendered all that. This is the peace of God that he gives to who? His kids. Are you a Christian this morning? Yes. Two things right from the get-go. I'm favored by God. God says so. Unmerited, unearned. Number two, available right now is the peace of God in all my life's circumstances. This is what Paul is saying. So here we go. This might be a little uncomfortable. First point, verses 3-4. The question is, where is God when it hurts? Will you write that down? First point, where's God when it hurts? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any tribulation or trouble. That's an awesome word. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now look, verses 3 and 4, honestly, you know me. We could spend the next month or 2 months on those three verses. They are pregnant with meaning. All powerful, and we need it today in our age. What's going to become of the euro? What's going to become of the dollar? What's going to be drill or no drill? Republican, Democrat. What's happening in the world? Peace or no peace? War or no war? Listen, I'm talking to you, and we're going to be talking to the Lord in this study that it does matter and it doesn't matter. We should always pray for peace. We should always be exercising righteousness. But listen, after we've done those things, we surrender, always surrender to the fact that in the midst of any storm, God has promised us his grace and peace. That's all important. Where's God when it hurts? I think you might already know the answer, but it's not what we often feel. Number one, jot it down. He's enthroned in heaven. You silly rabbit. What's with that? Of course. Where's God when it hurts? Number one, mark it down. He's in heaven. Now watch this. If my emotions take over, he's in heaven. That's not close enough. My emotions are governing and controlling. I'm not happy that he's in heaven. I want him sitting right next to me. I want him holding my hand to the doctor's office. Well, hang on a second. The first thing that you and I need to settle is that God is enthroned in heaven. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle the word blessed. God is enthroned in heaven above. He is above the fray. But listen, don't worry. He's not removed from it. But our source, that's the point, our source for the help that you and I need is deposited from heaven above. We need to have the right understanding. Number one is this. In your suffering, in your pain, God is enthroned in heaven. And what do we see regarding the life of Jesus? When Jesus walked on earth, what did he do? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he prayed unto his Father. Jesus opened his mouth and said, "Oh, Father," did he not? Did he not tell the disciples, "From now on, I want you to call Father, God in heaven, Abba"? Nearness, closeness, dearness, relational love. In your trouble, God is enthroned in heaven. And if it was good enough for Jesus to cry out to his Father in all of his trials, then it's good enough for us. Put that in your heart and mind right now. If Jesus from earth, when he was ministering on earth, cried out to his Father, and his Father led him, guided him, blessed him, and got him through, then he's going to do it for me. He's going to do it for me. You see, Pastor, you just mentioned somebody a moment ago that's dying. Well, clearly God didn't come through for them. Hey, wait. Press pause on your DVD of lunacy. What are you talking about? You think that this earth is worth hanging around for? That's all that it is? Well, God didn't heal this person and then they died. And where did they go? If they're a believer, they went to heaven. Quite a healing, I'm thinking. Quite a healing. There comes a time spiritually you outgrow this body. It's time to go home. Though you've never been there before, your heart is longing to be there. He's the God that is residing in heaven. God is enthroned in heaven above. And when you pray, you're not praying to Blue Shield. You're not praying to Kaiser. You're not praying to some doctor. If you do, meet the new believer counselors after service today. You need to meet Christ, man. You need Jesus. You're praying to the God of heaven and earth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable, taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of Pastor Jack, you want to remind us of a conference that's coming up on Israel?
Yeah, you know, every year our facilities here play host to Dr. David Hawking's Hope for Today outreach.
Yeah.
He does a prophecy conference where he brings in some pretty knowledgeable people. One of them is a dear brother and friend. In fact, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for example, he's an attorney. He's not only an attorney, he's a pastor of the Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but he's part of the faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great brother, a great communicator. Of course, Dr. David Hawking will be speaking, Thomas Ice, David Reagan. David Reagan is a gentleman who many of you know from his television broadcast. David Reagan has the ability to look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, second to none, and no man has ever been known to fall asleep during one of his messages. The guy, I'm telling you, when I grow up, I hope I have as much anointing as energy as Dr.
Okay.
David Reagan. We're going to be having with us a dear brother from England, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, a tremendous speaker, one who, listen, everybody, one who has taken upon himself to really reveal this very, very ugly and insidious vein that is flowing through many churches in the world today, and that is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jew doctrine.
In the church.
In the church.
Yeah.
And Dr. Paul Wilkinson has tremendous presentations on this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his doctorate in mathematics, in science, but he loves the Word of God, tremendous brother. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. There'll be other events planned as well. There's no cost for this event. A love offering is going to be taken,
mm-hmm.
but I encourage you to come on out. This is going to be stuff at our time. With what's going on in the world right now, Davey, you can't afford to miss this conference.
When is it?
This conference begins on August 7th,
okay.
7th and 8th. And it's right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, right here in Southern California. We hope that if you're within driving distance, or for that matter, listen, every year we have people that come from as far as Canada.
That's great.
We've had people come from Maine.
Yeah, I love it.
To attend this event. So it's an eye opener for sure.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.